His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden.
The nails that held him set me free.
His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine.
His scars of suffering brought me healing.
He spilled his blood to fill my. His crown of thorns made me royalty, and his sorrow gave me joy untold. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die, God's Son would die to save a wretch like me? What love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected,
that he would die, God's Son would die to save a wretch like me,
like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine.
Amen. Wow. Wow. Beautiful. I'm waiting for Tracy to come back out for just a moment. Tracy, you come anytime, okay, and sing, all right? I want you to come and join these ladies, and praise the Lord. That is a great blessing. Thank you for being here today. A blessing. I love that song. Take your Bibles, if you would. I'm going to move the microphone so I don't want to creak like Marianne had, okay? Good. Amen. Thank you. Marianne makes all those noises up here. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I want to preach a message differently than what I've been doing here. We've been going through a series in the book of Ephesians, and so it's good to take a break once in a while. But with some of our teachers here today, I wanted to share something very special. This will be applicable really to all of us. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and I like to read verse 9 and 10. As I read this, you may be familiar. It was almost 20 years ago that a man, I believe by the name of Bruce Wilkinson, came out with a book called The Prayer of Jabez. It became a bestseller, and a number of things. I wouldn't say I agree with every conclusion that he came to in his book, but I think there are some things that we can glean from as we look at this passage of Scripture. And so 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And I love this last phrase of verse 10. "And God granted him that which he requested." God seeks for people to pray. And when we pray according to God's will, he hears us and he answers. What a God we serve. Let's pray together. I'd like to introduce our subject here this morning. I'd like to talk about a prayer for influence from a man of impotence. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you administer to us here today. Guide our thoughts, our attention. May it be fully upon thee. In Jesus' name, amen. A number of years ago, I read a book titled A Quest for Character by Chuck Swindoll. In that book, he had told a story about a young elementary student, actually in his late elementary years, by the name of Teddy Stollard. Teddy Stollard was described as disinterested in school. His clothes were musty and wrinkled. His hair was never combed. He was one of those kids that just would sit there in class with a deadpan face, expressionless. Whenever his teacher, Miss Thompson, spoke to him, he always answered in monosyllables. He was unattractive, unmotivated, and distant. He was just one of those kids that was plain hard to like. And even though Miss Thompson said that she loved everybody in her class, deep down inside, that almost wasn't really truthful. You see, whenever she marked Teddy's papers, it seemed that she got this perverse pleasure out of putting X's next to the wrong answers. And whenever she put an F at the top of the paper, she kind of put those F's with a little flair. She should have known better. If she had just looked at his records, she would have seen what they had stated about Teddy. First grade, Teddy shows promise with his work and attitude, but a poor home situation. Second grade, Teddy could do better. Mother is seriously ill. He receives little help at home. Third grade, Teddy's a good boy, but too serious. He's a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy's very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. Christmas came that school year. All the students were excited. They were bringing presents in for Miss Thompson, laid them on the desk. Boy, these presents just piled high. But one of the presents was noticeable. It was wrapped in a brown paper bag, held together with scotch tape all over. When she opened Teddy's present, it was Teddy's, out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume. Boys and the girls who were in the class began to giggle, but Miss Thompson had enough sense to know how she could control the giggles by those students. So she put the wrist on her and sprayed the perfume on her wrist as well, and she began to wave her arm around and said, "Boy, this smells good, doesn't it, students?" And boy, all the students started chiming in, "Ah, ooh, smells good." Well, at the end of the day, that day, when all the other children had left, Teddy kind of lingered around. He slowly came up to Miss Thompson's desk and he said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother." "And her bracelets look really pretty on you. I'm glad you like my presents." And when Teddy left, Miss Thompson got down on her knees. And she asked God to forgive her and help her to make a difference in this child's life and other children. The next day, when all the children came to school, they were welcomed by a new teacher. Miss Thompson had become a different person. She was no longer a teacher, but she was an agent of God. She was now a person that was committed to loving her children and doing things for them that would live on after her. She helped all the children, but especially the slow ones, and especially Teddy Stollard. By the end of that year, Teddy showed dramatic improvement. He had caught up with most of the students and was even ahead of some of them. Well, that year went on. She didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. But one day she received a note that read, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know that I'll be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, another note came. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know the university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, another note came. "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know, and I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact, and I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were alive. You're the only family I have. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy Stollard." Well, Miss Thompson went to that wedding and sat where Teddy's mother would have sat. She deserved to sit there. She had done something for Teddy that he would never forget. I thought this morning when I reviewed this and wept over this story, I thought, okay, I got my tears out. You know, I don't do good with stories like this. But I think about this lady who invested her time and realized that she was going to be a person of influence in this young child. No matter whether you're a parent, a teacher, a grandparent, or just a simple church member, you all have the ability to influence somebody here. And what I believe in the passage that we read is there is a passage of great requests that are given to God to help expand that influence. As we introduce this, I find that the book of Chronicles, of where this is found, is one of 12 historical books found in the Old Testament. It's written most likely by Ezra the scribe after the Israelites had returned to the land after their captivity. And both 1st and 2nd Chronicles parallels the book of 1st and 2nd Kings. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's turn this microphone on. Trapped animal behind this pulpit now. But both 1st and 2nd Chronicles parallels the book of 1st and 2nd Kings with this exception. The Chronicles only records the history of the kings of Judah, that is, the southern tribe. In other words, it's the family history of David and his sons that are in focus. But when we read these first nine chapters, we find a large recording of a family history. Names, so many of them, that might even make a genealogist quiver in his boots. There's approximately 600 names that are given in these nine chapters. And it's one name after the other, after the other, after the other, is mentioned in a cursory manner until we come to the text that we read in chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. It is as if the author stops after scanning a whole sea of people and his focus is on one individual. That individual is Jabez. And whereas each person is listed in these nine chapters and just simply gets an honorable mention, this man, Jabez, receives an honorable marking in our history. Three things are to be noted about this man, Jabez, in verse number 9, if you would notice. First of all, it seems to me, in reading this, that he lacked a father figure. Note, if you will, there is no mention of a father. You see, in every other instance that is given to us, it is this man begat this child, this child grew up, begat another person, this child grew up, and father after father after father is mentioned. But when we come to verse 9, look at what we simply read. And Jabez. No father, no mention of one, just simply his brothers and his mother. But second thing I note about Jabez is this. He came from a challenging environment. The Bible tells us that he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, this is not only an indication of the character of Jabez, but I believe as you look at the wording of the scripture, it is also an indictment on his brothers. You see, Jabez was a person that rose above the depraved conditions in his home and his environment. Can you imagine, without a dad, how tough life is, especially in this society? And often in these dire circumstances, people will begin to turn to wicked devices to simply get ahead, but not Jabez. While his conditions were poor, life was rough, everyone close to him was dishonorable in their way of living, but Jabez was more honorable. But the third thing I note about him, he was not given a lot of hope for the future. Notice the meaning of his name. It means here at the end of verse 9, the name Jabez means child of my sorrow, child of my pain. Now, all of you women out here who have borne a child, you would say, yeah, it was painful. But not every child is named Jabez, are they? So we'd have to indicate something here in this passage of scripture that he wasn't just named Jabez because she went through hard labor. There had to be something about the circumstances of him being born. There had to be something of the environment, the poor conditions, the struggles of life. And the mother, all she could do was say, this child is going to grow up and I've got no hope for him. Now think about that. What makes this prayer effective is the fact that this man probably had no father in his life. This man had awful conditions, and he was given a name where there was no hope for him but his request. Can I say to you today that if you're someone who is, maybe you've come from a challenging environment, maybe here you think about the children that are in our educational system. How many children, ask yourself this question, how many children grow up in a home without a father? There's a lot. The statistics from 2017, that is the Census Bureau of 2017, here's what they reveal. 19.7 million children, or one out of every four children, live without a father in the home. Think about that. That's astounding. And how many children like Jabez that our teachers are reaching today also may not just have a lack of a father in the home, but have a tough environment and no hope is given to them for the future? Those that have compiled the research on children without fathers have concluded that those same children are four times more likely to be in poverty. They're more likely to have behavioral problems, drug and alcohol abuse, and two times more likely to drop out of high school. Many of these children that we're reaching in Sarasota and Charlotte County, just in these two counties alone, grow up in difficult times, endure disabilities of their own, and find very little encouraging support. But how about you as an adult? Maybe you grew up in such circumstances. Maybe you went through tough times. It might be that you have challenges all your own, and life for you is an uphill battle. You may have had physical frailties, emotional challenges, and weaknesses that nobody else knew about, but you struggled through them. And I really believe that as we lay out the condition of Jabez, and we identify in some way what he's gone through, it helps to helps us to grasp that prayer that he prayed. And to be able to say, Lord, help me to be a man like Jabez in praying this type of prayer. Because Jabez comes to the only one who can help him, God in heaven. It was a London pastor, C.H. Spurgeon, who said, prayer is a slender nerve that moves the hand of omnipotence. That's the God we pray to. So now, let's notice four requests that Jabez makes. Request number one, the provision of God. The provision of God. Notice this phrase, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. First of all, I note about this prayer request that Jabez gives that it was general. He did not ask for anything specific. He just said, bless me. But second, it was an earnest and heartfelt request. Because the word indeed is a word that is translated, it's almost the same thing. We could phrase it this way. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, bless me. Or we could say, oh, that thou wouldest bless me, and with an exclamation point. Oh, God, bless me. It was a request that was given that God indeed would bless him. But today, we don't seem to understand this idea of blessing. If we ask for blessing in the missionary, it's because our prayers are lazy before God. Oh, God, bless all the missionaries. Oh, God, bless all the church people. Help them, Lord. That's our prayer, a blessing. But for Jabez, this was not a lazy prayer. It was not even a selfish prayer. Oh, Lord, I want you to bestow everything upon me. Because as we see, Jabez was concerned that God would do something for him, that he could be an outlet for God. Oh, God, bless me. I think when we look at the general context of this, we find that this Jewish setting is a little different than what we understand. You see, this is written in a time when Israel had gotten in the land and they got all of their land allotments and they got what God had promised to them. And you see, for the Jew, when the Jew would ask for God to bless him, it was often translated into things like land, possession, family. It was things. But to you and I today, as New Testament believers, our blessing, Lord willing, Please don't take what the faith healers are going to tell you and all of these people. Oh, ask God for all of these things. And my friend, I want to tell you, I want to pray according to the will of God. I'm not interested in the material goods because all of that's going to pass. If God indeed decides me to bless me with those things, so be it. But I'm looking for the spiritual blessings. What we read about in the first chapter of Ephesians, those blessings of a spiritual nature that God can heap upon us. And what Jabez is saying, oh God, would your favor be upon me? Would your grace, your guidance be given in my life? And again, I remind you that this prayer is general. There's nothing specific that he prays for. But Jabez leaves the door open for God to bless how he wishes to bless. And I must say, God, if you're saved today, God has already blessed you through Jesus Christ. And what a powerful prayer to pray for that provision of God. Oh God, bless me indeed. But request number two, I want you to notice, is now a request for the power of God. Look at this phrase, enlarge my coast. In this second request, Jabez literally asked God to remove the restrictions that were keeping him penned in. Let's notice a couple words in that phrase. First of all, the word coast. The word coast refers to a territory, a border, or a limit. When you look at the word in the Hebrew language, it is closely related to a word which means a cord. That is, it carries with it the idea that there's a border and it has this cord around it so everybody knows where the dimensions and the limitations are. So this word coast. And in the world of Jabez, land was marked by boundaries that had been divided by the tribes' families. Every family had their own inheritance, which was passed down from generation to generation. But now notice the word enlarge. It means to increase or expand. I find it interesting in Genesis 9:27, Noah said that God would enlarge Japheth. Exodus 34:24 reveals that God was interested in giving an expanded vision to his people when he says, I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. And then Isaiah writes this in Isaiah 54:2. He uses the image of a tent to help us see the importance of increasing our impact. And he says, enlarge the place of thy tent, stretch forth thy curtains, lengthen thy cords. Now could it be that Jabez is asking for more land? Maybe. But I want to apply this to us and the spiritual context. And I believe, really, that what Jabez was asking and what you and I ought to ask in a request is like this, is that God would help expand the boundaries that have been imposed upon us. Think about the boundaries Jabez had imposed, the name given to him, a grief, the dishonor in his environment, all of the rough things that went on in his life. And Jabez says, Lord, I don't want these limitations. I want these cords to be strengthened so I can have influence, power, and have an effect on the people in my community. And I think about you as teachers here today and parents and grandparents and many of you who have the opportunity to influence other people. You may have limitations in your life. You may have things that you look at and you say, well, I just can't impact people. Yes, you can by the grace of God. By the grace and very power of God, God can lengthen those cords and give you an ability to have an impact that you never would have imagined before. Wow. So he prays for provision, for power. But then notice the third phrase. Here his request is for the presence of God. He prays here that thine hand might be with me. God's hand. What do we mean by the hand of God? Well, in the Bible, the hand of God is most often a reference of the presence of God. Where is Jesus seated? The right hand of the Father. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't just say the right side, right hand. Psalm 119, verse 73, let your hand be ready to help me. Psalm 18:35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now Jabez was wise enough to not just simply pray for the provision of God, the blessing of God, but he was also wise enough to ask for God's presence with him. And I really believe that as we come before God and we ask for his provision, we must also ask for his presence in our lives, because if we do not, we are missing out. You know who learned a real big lesson about missing out of God's presence? The Father's presence, if I can say. Go to Luke 15. Now, you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to take us in our minds. Luke 15, the prodigal son. One day he came to his father. He said, Father, I want all my possession right now. I want everything that you are going to give to me. The possession, the blessing. And he got it. But what did he find? He didn't have. He had his father's possessions, but he didn't have his presence. And he got up and he says, look, I've been a playboy my whole life here, but I'd rather be a slave at my father's house. And he went back because he wanted his father's presence. And my friend, in whatever ministry, whatever job you have as a Christian, oh, how much we need God's presence. We need it. Oh God, that your hand would be with me. No wonder the psalmist prayed this in Psalm 139, verse 10. Even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. We need God. Pray that the powerful presence of God would be with you. Fourth request. I know you didn't think I'd move that quick, did you? You thought four requests. He's going to be an hour. Well, this last one takes a long time. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Notice this phrase. Request number four, the protection of God. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. The prayer is that God would keep him from committing evil and getting into sinful activity. But I want you to notice the next phrase, because I think it is wise and it is proper to link these two phrases together. This phrase, that it may not grieve me. I think we could see this request in two ways. Number one, we could look at it that Jabez is given a request for protection from all the dangerous evils and the things that are around him, that they would not affect him. There'd be nothing wrong with that. But I choose to see in this passage that Jabez makes a request to God for protection from himself rather than the people and circumstances around him. You see, what Jabez is saying is, he does not want to be hurt by the evil, and in turn, he does not want to be a pain or a grief to anybody else. You see, it's almost a play on words here. Jabez was born in pain, born in sorrow, and he says, I don't want to be a Jabez to my community. Yes, that may be my given name, but I want my influence to be such that my life is pure before God. And I am a blessing to people, not a grief how sad it is that people who sometimes can have the greatest influence, a teacher, a police officer, a politician, you name the position of influence, and yet they fall in shame because of their disobedience to God, because of their own desires and wicked pleasures. And now, no longer are they a positive influence, but they are a grief to society. Jabez says, I don't want that to be me. I don't want to be a person whose name is talked about as a byword, as a pain, as a grief. I want to be a blessing. He prayed to the Lord to keep him from fulfilling his name. He prayed that his label would not become his legacy. Jabez knew something that all of us need to be reminded of. Sin will rob you of the blessings. Can I say that again? Sin will rob you of the blessings. Somebody put it this way a long time ago. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Stay away from sin. And a prayer that every believer ought to have is, oh Lord, keep me pure. Note these four requests. Provision. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Power. Enlarge my coast. Presence. That thine hand be with me. Protection. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. It may not be a grief to me. Can I say two things in closing here this morning? Number one. You have the ability to influence people wherever you are, and you are not limited by whatever weaknesses you think you have. You're not limited by the weaknesses of this life. The influence that God would allow you to have goes beyond any human strength. Goes above and beyond any human ability. Because we can name person after person of illustrations of people who are born again Christians who have had tragedies in their life, and yet God has still used them. Who's the dear lady that dived at 16 years old and was paralyzed? Johnny Erickson Tada. Goes to show you, here's a woman who's paralyzed from her neck down. And she's probably done more to influence than any single person in this room today. The weaknesses don't have to limit you. You say, preacher, I've got these weaknesses and they hurt, they're painful. Can I say that's God's way of allowing you to be dependent on Him? A.W. Tozer wisely said, it is doubtful whether God can use a man greatly until he has first hurt him significantly. Now, God does not hurt in the sense that he wants to hurt us for bad. God is going to allow pain and struggles in our life for good. No wonder the psalmist said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You see, my friend, there's a purpose in your pain. Pain in and of itself is not a blessing. It hurts. But pain does qualify us for a blessing. Your pain is given to you, and it sets you up for God to say, now I can do something. You see, as long as life is manageable in your strength, in your wisdom, your resources, then you don't need God's supernatural invention. But my friend, I'm here to say to you today that whatever God brings my way, God, if you deem it necessary for my life, allow it so you can bless me, so I can be a blessing to others. Your weakness is not a limitation. You see, candles, they need to be burned to give out light, don't they? Coal needs to be consumed in order to give heat. Wheat must be ground to produce flour, and you and I must experience pain to be able to enjoy true blessedness. But the second thing I note here is God answers prayer. The last line of verse 10 is the great news of the text, that God answers prayer. You see here today is not that Jabez prayed, as honorable as that is. The point is that God is willing to hear and is able to answer that prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. You know the rest of it? And I will answer thee. Call. And God says, I'll answer. What a beauty that God answered the prayer of a believer in him. God does answer prayer. If you're a Christian today, he will answer the things that are according to his will. But I'm so glad that he answers the prayer of penitent sinners. You see, one of the prayers that I was so glad he answered for me was at 18 years old when I lifted my heart up to God and said, God, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I deserve hell. But you loved me and you died for me. Right now, I'm placing my faith in what you did for me. And I'm asking you to forgive me of all my sins and become my personal Savior. You know what I believe God did for me that day? He answered prayer. God answered that prayer. And today I can tell you, not on the confidence of a preacher, not on the confidence of a person, but on one who relied on the promise of Scripture that when God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there are scores of people in this room who have at one time in their life called on the name of the Lord, and by a hearty amen, can you say that God saved you? Amen. What a beauty. What a beauty. God answers prayer. But maybe you're here today and you've never called on the name of the Lord to save you. Today you can do that. Shall we bow our heads, please, and close our eyes? Father,